Hello, welcome. Allow yourselves to settle and arrive. We will begin in 1 minute. Okay. I believe that we are all set with the technology. Welcome to Awakening Torah Musar Mindfulness. I am Rabbi Chassia Oriel Steinbauer, the founder and director of the Institute for Holiness, Kehilat Musar Mindfulness. Today is Thursday. Well, it's Thursday here in Israel. It's depending on where you are. Thursday, February 15th at like 12:50 in the morning. Welcome to all of you joining us from whatever time zone you are. If you're over in the Western Coast, United States, Canada, South America, it's Wednesday there. And if you're joining us, New Zealand, Australia, and the whole Southeast Asia, you could be later on Thursday. I don't think anyone's into Friday yet. So today is the sixth of Adar Rishon, Adar Aleph, the Hebrew month of the first of Adar. We have Adar Aleph 1 and Adar 2 this year. So today's actually a special day. This teaching is in loving memory of my Saba, known as Eldon, and it's his Yom HaZikaron, his Yahrzeit today. So I'll just share a quick memory of him. It was a long time ago he passed away. I was just a young teenager, but he was dear to me. I think the greatest joy that he brought was his wonderful sense of humor and his smile. And it's little things like this that are so important that give me strength during these difficult times since coming out of the genocide of October 7th in Israel, the kidnappings and the captives still in Gaza, known as Gaza in English, the ongoing war and the attacks from all borders, essentially. So when I think of the memory of my Saba, my grandfather, I want to share that joy with you because he was one of those people that had a twinkle in his eyes when he smiled at you and talked to you and played with you. So today his session is the sessions in his memory. So what are we covering today? We are covering the Torah portion that didn't happen last Shabbat, but the previous. It was Shabbat Yitro. So that came in the book of Shemot. And we had Shemot, Vayera, Bo, Beshalach, and then Yitro. So it was the fifth Torah portion for us to begin to cover. That happened on February 3rd, that Shabbat of 2024. And the Hebrew date was Kaf Dalet, the 24th of Shvat, the month of Shvat, and Tav Shin Pei Dalet, the Hebrew year of 5784. So if you've been with us, then you know that we do a summary of this Torah portion after we go over our kavanot, our intentions for today's session. And then we really try to learn from both God, Hashem, and our ancestors what is in the Torah, what is in the Torah right now that can really assist us to make it day by day with coping with the situation right now, to moving towards healing and recovery slowly, Bezrat Hashem, God willing. So first, we're going to enter our kavanot, our intentions for today's session. If you are watching live stream, joining us right now, either on Zoom, Facebook, or on our YouTube channel, please subscribe. If you have vision, then you will see here that we have three intentions listed. If you are listening later on podcast through audio, or you don't have vision, then I'm going to read these out loud. And these are the same that we have every week, which is that we see this time together, this hour, however long it takes. We see this as doing an act of radical self-care, and that we're doing it on behalf of others, and we're doing it to strengthen our relationship with the divine. It's that threefold: care for the self, care for the other, and our relationship with the divine, however you define the divine or that relationship. So we say, this is something right now, my doing awakening together. This is something that we're doing to strengthen our own souls in order to be a benefit to others in the future. It's also something we're doing to strengthen our relationship with others so that we can be a better conduit of God's good when others need us. And this is similar to how we're strengthening our relationship with God. Is this something that we really are engaging with so that we can be this conduit of bringing God's good to others? So may we all merit this today in our learning and practice together. We will begin to go through a summary of the Torah portion, and then I'll move into what I think is important for today to cover together. And then we will have our practice of mindfulness meditation to really move into an embodied practice of really internalizing the message from our ancestors and God. So what happens in Yitro? Yitro, this Torah portion, I would have to say is probably my favorite. Yitro, the person, the father-in-law to Moshe Rabbeinu, our prophet and leader, Moses, Yitro holds a special place in my heart. I've always found him very dear. The fact that he is so other-oriented, the fact that he leaves his comfort zone, all that he knows, to travel to a people, to his son-in-law, to bring his daughter and his grandchildren to his son-in-law, traveling great distance to share in the joy of a people that have been saved from slavery, from the institution of slavery in Egypt, that he comes to share that I've heard all that Hashem, all that God has done for you. And not only that, which is already amazing, he then witnesses in a really kind, gentle, compassionate way, right? With curiosity, the way that we want to practice. He witnesses his son-in-law, Moshe, basically manage the people and notices that this is not the optimum. This is not the healthiest structure of society for law and order. And he reflects that in a way that Moshe can hear when Moshe's ready. So he speaks to him gently and with kindness, and he was humble. He approached him in a way that Moshe could listen and hear, and gives him such sound advice. And this is sound advice coming from a non-Hebrew, a non-Israeli, a non-Jew. Such wisdom to offer to be able to strengthen our ancestors, the Jewish people, with this insight that there's a better way for you, Moshe, Moses, to basically hear out cases among the people. He's essentially acting like a dayan, a judge. He listens to the cases and then gives a ruling, right, based on the laws that have been passed down to them from God. Okay, so this is quite beautiful and really remarkable. And it's just really dear to me. They're really dear to me because I think that I'm someone that has always been aware of that we as Jews are to learn from wisdom from all corners of the world, from other peoples. And that when there is wisdom to be had, when someone has some really sound advice that will enrich our lives, will be life affirming, then we are to take advantage of it and practice it. And so Yitro just holds this place in my heart, and I hope he will in your heart too as we move through this. So let's give the quick summary. So Moshe's father-in-law Yitro comes to meet Bnei Israel, the whole children of Israel, the Israelites, in the wilderness, Bamidbar. And Yitro brings Moshe's wife, Tzipora, and their two sons. Yitro watches Moshe serve as the only judge of all Bnei Israel, and he thinks this is too much work for Moshe alone. And so it's a problem that he sees it will hurt Moshe long term, and it'll hurt the people. And that's what's also so beautiful about it. His insight into how it's going to affect everyone involved. Yitro helps Moshe set up a better system with more judges, many more judges that will handle large cases, medium cases, small, and the ones that are really trying and difficult will be left for Moshe to decide on. Bnei Israel set up camp at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, and for 3 days they prepare to receive the Torah known as Matan Torah. And on the third day, there is thunder, lightning, heavy clouds, and a very strong sound of the shofar. If you don't know what the shofar sound is, it's from a ram's horn. It's like a trumpet, but very different because it's coming from an animal horn used by our ancestors to make announcements of when the new moon was happening, when the holidays were, also for war, entering into battle. So they hear this very strong sound of the shofar, and Har Sinai, the Mount Sinai, fills with smoke because God came down essentially in fire. It's considered the most awesome, inexplicable, just amazing moment, one both of reverence, awe, and fear. Known as Yira. There's no great translation in English for this word. God declares the Aseret HaDibrot, the known as the 10 utterances in the Western culture, 10 commandments, in addition to all the other laws that come in Mishpatim and later. These include God-oriented mitzvot, like not worshiping idols and making sure to keep Shabbat, and people-oriented mitzvot commandments like do not kill, more so do not murder, and do not steal, things of that sort. So Bnei Israel are actually terrified of what they see, hear, and experience at Har Sinai. And they ask Moshe Rabbeinu to teach them through him, instead of hearing directly from God. Okay, Moshe's response is to tell them not to be afraid. Not sure that's the best response, but that's the response that was given. Finally, God gives Moshe rules for making a mizbeach, which is an altar for sacrifices. Which is where they're headed next as a people. What are they going to build? How are they going to serve God? That will all come up. Okay, let's jump in. What is it today in 2024, Tafshin Pei Daled, are we supposed to take from this amazing Torah portion? Again, we can't cover everything. We never can. I would love to, but it's not what's going to happen. So, I think I want us to keep in mind that in the practice and in the path and the vision and way of life of Musar mindfulness, Musar coming from the Jewish tradition, this really daily discipline of ethics and morality, of refining our midot, our soul traits inside, so that we can be that conduit for God's good, right? And then mindfulness coming from Theravada Buddhism, the path of the Dharma, of really being awake to the moment, so that we can see clearly and really internalize the Eightfold Path of really being honest and upright in all areas of our life. So we want to approach this Torah portion from the Midah of Emet, of truth, okay? The Midah being the soul trait of how balanced it is inside of us. Now, truth, when we hear that word in English, we think, okay, there's truth and there's dishonesty. In Musar and in Judaism, this is much more complicated in the sense that Emet really can reflect a way of being in the world, that we're changed by truth, right? That we recognize truth is something impermanent, right? That we experience and then have to experience again or relearn. It's not like facts that you learn some information and that stays and that's it. Truth is, again, just much, it's impermanent. It's something that it's not necessarily, like as I said, correct or false. It's a regard for what is apparent, for what remains undetected. It's this idea that there's the obvious and then there's the hidden. In order to approach truth from a balanced perspective, one has to also be quite balanced in anava, in humility. Because we have to be able to admit, I am human. I am limited because I am human. I can't know everything. I can't see everything. I can't even know the consequences for all my behaviors, even though I try to live that way. That only God is the true Emet, the true keeper, the understand, you know, the one who is the understander, right? Put that into a word in English. Who can see all truths in all space and time? We don't have that capability, but it really is this seeing clearly what is apparent before us and having the humility to say, I might not have all the information and facts before me. I might not know what's really going on with that person. So we step back to appreciate there might be a greater truth here going on. Right, truth is about perception. It's a beautiful teaching by a wonderful teacher in Yerushalayim named Batya Galant, where she says she calls Emet truth perception. She says that truth perception perceives reality in its fullness, similar to seeing clearly in the Dharma, on the path of the Dharma, right? Without greed, without ill will, without delusion. So, I bring up all this because two things. We need to, since October 7th, we Israelis and Jews across the world and our allies need to be able to recognize when we might be living more of illusion, maybe as a way even of coping, right? That we might be holding on to certain ways of seeing things. Maybe trying to see things the way we want them to be rather than the way they are. So we need to practice really seeing clearly. And this is what, how Emmet's going to come in, but this is what we learn from Yitro. And this is going to be very important to us from obviously October 7th forward. Today is the 131st day since October 7th, the genocide, where our people are being held captive still after 131 days. So we need part of this practice and seeing clearly, which we'll get to in our practice of mindfulness meditation, is to be mindful of our thoughts and emotions. And are we getting so caught up in them that we're over-identifying with them, or we're so pushing them away through aversion that we're not seeing clearly? So why is this so important? This is so important, right? For us to be able to see things as they are, not how we want them to be, right? Not how we even think they should be. Because if we can't see things as they are, then we can't address what we do know of the truth in the moment. So here comes Yitro. Yitro shows up and he sees what's before him. He sees it very clearly. And maybe because Moshe was so close, Moshe was there in the midst of the reactivity in some ways, in the midst of the moment with Bnei Israel, so caught up in it, he didn't have that distance, right? That distance that one needs to be able to go, wait a minute, what's going on? How am I living? Is this the best structure for this unfolding society, for this unfolding community? He didn't even have a moment of reflection. He couldn't. He was leading, and he was leading so closely, right? Probably too close. So Yitro, it took this outsider, right? If Yitro shows up, comes in, and sees things clearly for how they are. And this is so important to us because we cannot, and even Bnei Israel, right, cannot accept and learn and do the laws that God is going to command without first the ability to see clearly. And this is what Yitro comes to teach, right? Because he realizes that Moshe's and others are not going to be able to see clearly in the current system. They're so caught up in just Moshe coming to him with all the problems, Moshe having to deal with hundreds, probably, if not thousands of cases a day, a week, a month. So they require a change in the actual physical structure of the leadership and the decision making and the enforcement. That's a huge thing because I don't even think they realize that they were already creating a structure of leadership and law, decision making and enforcement. They just kind of fell into it. And this is something that we have to be aware of. Do we just fall into things? Are we, as citizens of the state of Israel, just falling into things because it's a habituated behavior and pattern? Are we just full of reactivity and falling into what is known, maybe what is easiest, especially when you're having acute trauma? You just go with what is obviously safest, what is known. That often brings up for most of us falling into habitual patterns of behavior. And now is the time on 100, day 131 to begin to reflect, to really bring in and utilize our inner Yitro to say, is this the best structure for what we need right now? How do we move forward best? How do we address this? And if we feel that it's still not time to create a new structure, a new way of being, which maybe it might not be. I'm one person. I don't have, obviously, all the answers or wisdom. But to be able to begin with that inner Yitro to step back and start reflecting, do we as Israeli society need to question what is our structure? Is this the best form of law decision making? Is this the best form of enforcement? Or are we just reacting in the moment, which is common in an acute war? There's no judgment here. But this is the gift from our ancestors and God that we can begin with this gift of this Parshat Yitro, right? To begin to reflect. So let's move through what we're supposed to learn. Where is it in the sources? So just to make sure you're following with us, I'm trying to see when Yitro begins here. Okay. Yitro. It arrives for us. Where are you? There's Bishalach. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 27 basically cover his visit and the organization of the judiciary system
that was existing at the time. And gosh, he's so humble about it, right? He actually just offers a proposal for organizing the judicial system in Israel. I just feel like if he existed today, we would have like our Supreme Court with, you know, his name on top. Yitro, right? Dedicated to the memory of Yitro, because he's the one that helped our ancestors form this better judicial system. And then we move through after verse 27, we move into the covenant, the Brit at Har Sinai, which is chapter 19, 1 to chapter 20, verse 21. And then after, excuse me, we go through 21. We move into actually, that's the end, because then we move into Mishpatim, which is just more laws that came at Har Sinai. Okay, so let's cover what I think we need to pull from this, where we're even getting this amazing Yitro seen clearly and the response. So if you follow in chapter 18:1, there's something beautiful that happens here, and I just picked it up this year. I've been learning Torah, Talmud Torah, for a long time, long time. And it's such a gift to be able to read closely and see something you haven't seen before. It's like, I always say, thank you, Hashem. This is one of those moments. So this is what happened to me. For you, it's going to be obvious, not for me. Ready? So it comes and says in chapter 18, verse 1, it says, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan, Choten Moshe, et kol asher asa Elokim, Lemoshe, Ur Yisrael Amo, ki hotzi Adonai, et Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Okay, so it says, Yitro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard, Shema, he heard. Okay. He heard all that God had done for Moshe and for Israel, his people, and how God had brought them out of brought Israel out of Egypt. Okay. Pay attention to the verb. He heard. When we hear in ancient Israel, ancient Near East, that means you act on the hearing. It's not just that you hear and go, well, that's nice. That was nice news. It's not like social media. Oh, that was nice. I heard that. The hearing transforms you. The hearing goes, whoa, that's amazing. Right? I need to go and speak to Moshe. I need to witness them and celebrate with them. Okay? That's Shema. That's listening. So here's that. Then what happens? Get ready. This is what I was so excited about. Go to chapter 18, verse 24. Okay, this is after Yitro gives him all this advice. Here we go. Vayishma, same verb, Shema. Okay. Vayishma Moshe lekol chot no veyaas kol asher amar. Moses, it says heeded here. This is a terrible translation. Moses, I mean, yes, I guess that's pretty good. I take that back, because I just taught you that Shema, to listen, means you act. So when Moshe heard everything that Yitro, his father-in-law, said, he heeded, meaning he was like, oh God, yes, I have to change how I'm doing things. This is causing me to act differently. This is causing transformation. So he heeded his father-in-law, right? And he did just as he said. That's amazing. I mean, it's amazing on so many levels. It's amazing that he actually doesn't talk to Hashem, to God, to say, hey, Yitro just gave me some great advice. Can I go ahead with this? No, the judiciary system was left up to Moshe and Bnei Israel. It was left up to them. Moshe, God, as far as we know from the Torah, God does not lay down how the judiciary system is supposed to be structured and organized. Okay, as I told you, they fell into a certain pattern. Yitro comes as this amazing outsider that's required when we're too caught up in the reactivity of the present moment. We need that outsider. We need our own inner Yitro for us to have that today. Right? He comes, He comes because who shema, who he heard. Moshe heard what his father-in-law was trying to teach him, what he was trying to offer. That I never made that connection that it was shema. Yitro heard obviously from God, from the whole world who was discussing what had happened. He heard, and then Moshe heard. It took Yitro hearing for Moshe to be able to hear, and they both heard, and it was so it, that connection was so beautiful and amazing. Okay, so I hope you I have the joy with it with me. And then what happens? Moshe goes ahead and says, "You're right, Yitro. Time to restructure this judiciary system." He moves to chapter 19, verse 4. This amazing thing happens because, and I really believe this, because they're able to reorganize their judiciary system, they are able to see clearly for the first time. Let me say that again. Because of the gift of Yitro listening to God and what had happened to Bnei Israel that caused him to come and give that amazing advice, Moshe then heard and heeded the advice and did it, reorganized the judiciary system with the Zekinim, with the elders, with the Nisim, with all the wonderful generals, princes, leaders, righteous men that stood up and took those positions in the judiciary system. Because of that restructuring, there was such a burden taken off of Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, and off of Moshe. They're able to be more present in the present moment. They're able to see clearly. And only when they're able to see clearly are they ready to have Matan Torah. They are ready to see and hear and receive Torah from God. This is very important. Okay, Matan Torah is just not something just given to you. You have to be someone who is here in the present moment, seeing clearly, addressing the needs of the community that's best for everyone. So all of a sudden, chapter 19, verse 4, God comes, right? Calls Moshe from the mountain. Declares to all of Bnei Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on an eagle's wings and brought you to me. Now then, if you obey, but what is the verb use? Ve'ata im shamoa tishma'u bekoli. Now, if you obey, meaning if you listen, if you obey me faithfully, right? Ushamartam et briti. And if you keep, right, protect, keep my covenant. Vitam li segula mikol ha'amim, ki li kol ha'aretz. You indeed will be my treasured possession, my treasured people among all the people. Because the earth is mine. They built the judiciary system, listening to Yitro, seeing clearly. God suddenly says to them, you are ready. You listened about the judiciary system. I sent an amazing angel named Yitro to help you build a better system. You are now ready to Shema, to listen, to obey what I'm about to hand you. Be in this relationship with me. Keep the covenant, which leads to lishmor, to really keep and protect. And then you get to really know what it means to be in relationship with me, God is saying. That is emet. That is truth perception. Right? I'm here. I gave it all I can. I'm here to listen. I'm here to protect. That's beautiful, transformed by the listening, the obeying, the keeping. It's beautiful. Okay. Same with us. Same with us today. What do I mean by that? We're constantly in covenant with Hashem in a brit. And sometimes we're not here in the present moment. Right now, many of us, given the trauma from October 7th to day 131, some of us are having a very hard time being here in the present moment. We're not living in the best structure for ourselves and our society, perhaps. When we're not able to be here and see clearly, it's very difficult to care for ourselves the way Hashem wants us to, for us to be able to care for others completely, for us to listen and lishmor, to protect. Thank God there are many of us who are doing even more than coping, who are healing, who are recovering, our allies coming in, because it's these people who are able to have that emotional distance to bring their inner yitro, to be able to look at what's going on and say, okay, we need to address this threat to our bodily harm, our soul harm, right? Address this through this war. Try to make the most sound decisions that cause the least amount of harm and suffering, both for the society and Gaza and for our own. It requires those people that can have that distance and make those suggestions. While those of us, myself included, I count, work on daily coping and slowly healing. Because some days it can just feel like I can barely get out of bed. And if you're there with me, you're not alone. Okay, one day at a time. So let's move to our final teaching, which comes from chapter 20, verse 16, where the people are so terrified with reverence and awe and fear at the thunder and the lightning and the blare of the shofar and the mountain smoking. And when they saw it and they heard it and they experienced it, they were like, whoa! They fall back, right? They stood at a distance and they say to Moshe, you speak to us, we'll obey, right? But let not God speak to us lest we die. They felt like they were dying inside. It felt like they were dying inside. It was just too much, right? And some of us right now feel like we're dying inside. Not because we're standing at Har Sinai, but because of what we've gone through, right? And so we need our allies and the people here in Israeli society and those who are coming to help to understand that you need to be out there speaking and doing that, right? So he answers the people. This is so beautiful here. Obviously, he says, do not be afraid. This is kind of incredible right here, this language. Really, he says, you're with me on Pasuk 17, verse 17. For God is only coming in order to test you. Right? And the language here, I don't know how he knows this, but that's a whole other thing. It says right here, Ki levavur nasot etchem, right? Ba Elokim. And okay, and in order that you fear, that fear of him may be with you forever. Because the fear here, the yirah, it's not just fear, it's awe and fear. The fear is something that informs us, that changes us, okay? Because in order for that fear of him may never leave you, because if you hold it within, if you have it within as a practice and you remember it, it's going to have you help you behave properly and bring the best to society, to bring God's good to others, right? It says, so that you will not go astray. This is so important. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? We have our daily Musar mindfulness practice to really hold Moshe's words and internalize that yirah that our ancestors felt, and that we too, on some greater level that we can understand, we hold that fear and awe of the Almighty, of the Divine, and it informs us It reminds us of our humility, of what we can't know. It reminds us of Emmet, of truth, this truth perception, to try to be fully present with what is, to see clearly, to be able to make appropriate, wise, life-affirming decisions. This is so important. And that's what really holding that yira. Oh, yes, I remember God. I remember you. I remember the experience of you at that mountain. How awe-inspiring and fearful it was. That's what some of October 8th has been onward. Yes, God, I remember. I remember the awe and the fear of how our people came from all over Israel to pull together, to start taking care of one another, to respond to this. And we don't go astray. We stay together and we have. This is so profound. So profound that our ancestors have passed this on to us. And we're living it. We're moving forward with it. So that is my wish for all of us, that we just continue with this beautiful internalized message that God and Moshe hopes for us that we will keep and remember. I'm going to move us now into our mindfulness meditation practice. Please assume whatever posture you need to practice now with me. It could be seated on a chair or a cushion like a zafu if you have one. Excuse me. It could be a standing or walking meditation. It could be lying down. Whatever's best for you in this moment, what you'll be most comfortable, where there won't be so much discomfort or pain that it pulls your attention away from the present moment, from seeing clearly, from being able to practice clearly. So please assume your posture. I will lead us, I will guide us. And when we come towards the end, you will hear me ring the bells so that we stop our meditation together. So we begin, as always, with a really deep inhalation. This is really the gift to begin to fully arrive if you're not fully here. The gift of oxygen from God. Inhalation and exhalation. Watch what happens to my shoulders on this next inhalation. It's quite amazing. First, they rise a little when I deeply inhale, because the whole chest rises, right? You've filled it up with this oxygen, and watch what happens. It's just amazing. It feels so much like a gift, so beautiful. And lastly, this last inhalation and exhale. Now allowing your breath just to fall to its own natural rhythm. You're invited to close your eyes if you feel safe and comfortable. Otherwise, just lower your gaze to what's in front of you if you have vision. And you'll begin to just let the breath come to its own natural rhythm. No need to control it. We're sitting upright, dignified, created in the image and likeness of the divine, and yet comfortable. At ease. There's a certain stillness that's beginning to arrive, right? And of course, your mind will travel from time to time. And as our teacher Joseph Goldstein loves to say, simply begin again, meaning you notice that you've gone off with your thoughts and you bring them back to my voice. You bring them back to your anchor, which is your breath, or my voice, the sounds around you. Notice if there are any obvious tensions in the body that you can release easily. And do so now. letting your eyes and face be soft. Relax the shoulders and let the arms and hands rest easily. Let the belly be soft and the breath natural. Let the heart be soft as well, to receive whatever arises with compassion and kindness. Now, with this embodied presence, right here, and right now together, bring a kind and gentle awareness to the breath. If you're someone that's having any difficulty with breathing from COVID or pneumonia or a cough, feel free to bring your gentle and kind awareness to the sounds around you. For those of you who have the awareness in the breath, notice it as the coolness in the nostrils, perhaps swirling, tingling in the throat, the rise and fall of the belly or the chest. Bringing your full awareness to this right here, right now. Seeing clearly and feeling each breath, and as you allow it, invite a sense of calm and ease to grow. Return gently to the next breath whenever you notice the attention has wandered. Wandering is a natural process, no judgment. Let all of the other experiences, sounds, sensations, thoughts, and images rise and fall like waves of the ocean around the breath. After a time, become mindful of any emotions that are calling for your loving attention. You can bring the same mindful, loving awareness to them as you have to the breath or the sounds around you. When an emotion arises, let go of attention to the breath and receive the emotion kindly. It can be helpful to name it softly. Sad.
Sad.
Or joy.
Joy.
Or bored.
Bored.
Or anxious,
anxious,
or excited,
excited.
As you attend to the emotion, notice carefully where you feel it in the body.
Also notice how it feels as a constellation of sensations. How does it respond to kind awareness? Does it dissolve or get stronger? Does it change into another emotion? Notice this too. You are the space of loving awareness that can kindly notice emotions as they come and go. If you feel resistance to contacting the emotion, or it feels very strong or unsafe, notice the story that the mind tells along with the feeling in the body. Notice any narrative or storytelling about the emotion or sensation in the body. Simply acknowledge it. Then let this be in the background. And again, bring a gentle presence to the motion. We can only imagine what Moshe Rabbeinu felt as an emotion when Yitro, his father-in-law, approached him with his proposal for a reorganization of the judicial system. You could imagine that when he first started talking to him, his shoulders maybe were even up high near his ears. And then as Yitro shared his wisdom, Moshe began to just breathe. From contraction to expansion, shoulders falling. What a burden beginning to leave his shoulders. He probably felt that. You can imagine that. You can imagine all of us so contracted. Heavy burden, October 7th, all 131 days to practice to breathe, to move to expansion, to know that it is safe to practice here together, right here and right now, to know that there is a path to face this day in and day out in the midst of this. What a gift, taking refuge in community together, taking refuge in this practice, taking refuge in this path of Musar mindfulness. When any emotion has changed or dissolved, return back to awareness for the breath for a time. Now you could include emotions in your loving awareness, as well as attending to the breath and the body. They come and go, and you are becoming the calm, steady witness, the Yitro inside. Acknowledging them without getting caught by each one. What a gift. This path together, this practice, that we can strengthen each other and ourselves to be of service to one another, to bring God's good to each other. Remaining in mindful, loving awareness, you become gradually more open, more balanced, more free. Your eyes are closed gently and slowly begin to open them, allowing the light to come back in, giving God, Hashem, beautiful bow and inner bow to yourself and your practice, bow to our teachers and our ancestors, bow to this amazing practice and path and vision handed to us to be able to thrive eventually, right? This path towards holiness. You know, one of our beloved teachers, Sharon Salzberg, loves to remind us all that we don't meditate to become better meditators. Let me say that again. We don't meditate to become better meditators. We meditate to become better people, to be better on this path, to really develop that inner Yitro, to be able to have that emotional space between the match and the fuse, between the stimuli and the response, to be able to see clearly, to lishmoa, to listen, to lishmor, to protect and to do. We are able to say as we move in next week, which I will teach shortly, from this last week's Torah portion on Shabbat, Mishpatim, please read it if you haven't. We will suddenly begin to really fully understand why we say, Me'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. It'll become very clear. It should be clear to us now, but it'll be very clear. So, God bless you all. Thank you for joining for today's practice. Please join me for Mishpatim next. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please head on over at kehilatmusar.com to subscribe to our newsletter, to reach out to me to see how you want to begin learning and practicing this path together. And I look forward to connecting soon. Thank you for your practice today.